irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, LA and whole world. Yes, whole world. It's so funny because when I have a guest in the studio, we always are chit-chatting a little bit before, and we have many questions going back and forth between a guest and host, and just, you know, we were like thinking, how many people, who is listening to the show, who is the audience, how all these people are, you know. And it's true, it will be so much fun to know more who you people are, who the people are who listen. Okay. I somehow think that I have very general audience, that's just anybody and everybody who just loves radio and likes good life stories of people that I'm bringing to the studio. And everybody knows that Ilona Europa has funky accent. I'm originally from Poland, and I had this idea that people love people with an accent. We are unusual. We are a little different. We are bringing crazy to this country and smartness to this country, creativity. And we are bringing a mixture of lots of roots. And what can I say? Today, I think I have the great representation. I have a really great, hot-looking gentleman in the studio, which always is fun to do, to have a very, very good-looking man. Everybody runs right now to Facebook, to Accent On page, and just check my post, okay? But he's an actor. He's a model. He's a screenwriter. He's director. He's got so many awards, but we'll be talking about all of these things. His name is... Okay, David, you tell people your name.
Hello, everyone, and thank you, Ilona, for that wonderful, wonderful introduction. This is David Bianchi coming to you live and direct from LA Talk Radio, broadcasting to the world from Sherman Oaks, California. We are in the air conditioning. It's 115 degrees outside, but it's hot in the studio.
Oh, my gosh, David, you will be co-hosting some of my shows if I will be in Europe. What about that? Well, you will be unnatural. I want to be you.
I want to be in Europe, so how about that?
No, I think you got a great voice. Did you ever?
No, I've never done radio broadcasts, but I've done a lot of voiceover work and things like that. And, you know, being a classically trained actor, you know, you learn voice and diction.
Yes, pronunciation, enunciation. But still, you need
important.
To have the aid when you
have the energy. You have to know how to play with a microphone. You have to know how to tease people with your voice, because it's all about the sonic experience when people are listening on the radio.
You're good. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Really, I'm honest. You know, if you ever... Oh, I need you, and I'll call you, and you say, hopefully, yes, you will bring your guest, and you will be continue what I love to talk about. People with cool accents. You don't have accent, but you have so many roots. You have maybe, no, you don't. You don't have any accent.
I have no, well, I have no accent in English. However, I can make an accent if you want me to.
Yes!
I can make an accent. And, it's very easy to do, you know.
Okay, we got one.
I just throw it off, you know.
I know you speak three languages.
I do. I speak Spanish fluently. I speak Portuguese fluently. My French is conversational, and my Italian is conversational. I don't use Italian and French very often in LA, and nor do I use Portuguese very often in LA, but I try to use them because you have to exercise them. Otherwise,
yes,
you lose them.
Absolutely. But you know what? And people, you know what? I just heard him talking to his mommy in Portuguese. Wow, this sounds so beautifully. I could write music under his conversation with mom. It was just so smooth. All the shish, and it was just beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. One day when I, because I write a lot of music and people know that you don't, then I never really had pleasure to just have translated some of my lyrics into Portuguese. And I think this is one of those languages that is the coolest when it comes to songs.
Oh, the, yeah. I mean, you know, the roots. And first off, you know, um abraço, um beijo a todos meus brasileiros aí, nos Estados Unidos. Todo meu mundo, toda minha comunidade brasileira aí. You know, Brazil has just incredible roots in music that is all driven and goes all the way back hundreds and hundreds of years to the African drum. You know, with bossa nova and samba and being one of the romance languages, you know, these languages that are derived from Latin. So you have Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, and French, which are the four romance languages that all have roots in Latin. You know, Portuguese has a very round sort of sound to it.
Very beautiful. And it has a lot of, like I said, the shish is just something that imitates drums and just ocean, just leaves. And I think people, when they hear talking, you know.
É un sono delicioso.
It's delicioso, for sure, whatever you said. But I think I understand. It's very delicioso. Anyway, you must be very, very complicated, conflicted gentleman and very creative, because I always find in people some connection into Poland. And I wouldn't even ever guess that your daddy gave you some blood, some Polish blood.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's one of those things that I don't get a chance to talk about a lot. But, you know, my father is first generation, but he's Italian and Polish.
I love
it. So my grandfather's fresh off the boat from Italy. My grandmother, her maiden name was Kuliakowski.
Oh, yes.
So so she was a very strong, very brash Polish woman. And then my mother is mixed Brazilian, Indian, and Afro-Brazilian. So she's African, Brazilian, and Brazilian, Indian mixed. And then Italian and Polish on my father's side. So, and then here I am now.
I really, really believe you got the best of all continents.
And I absolutely am conflicted.
You must.
You know, I mean, just by DNA, just being like Brazilian, Italian, all these things. I'm like a really hot, like furious lover. Just by DNA.
Okay, like, we like that.
I'm always like, you know, and I have a really, really hot temper. You know,
I
get that from my mother, and I get my charisma and my charm from my mother, but I get my intellect from my father.
Oh.
And it's a really strange mix. And, you know, it's interesting because even in Hollywood, casting directors, they put me in a box. They call me ethnically ambiguous. You
Gosh.
Know, because it's like when it comes to castings, like I'm not black enough.
Yeah.
But I'm also not Latino enough.
Yes.
So they don't really know how to place me. So in sometimes it really, really works in my favor. But in a lot of times, it doesn't.
Do they see your pictures?
Oh, they see my pictures, absolutely. And then I walk in the room and I'll deliver a great performance. But, you know, a lot of the times, you know, I don't have the quote-unquote African-American look.
Yes.
I also don't have the quote-unquote Latino look.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
But the thing is, there's a big difference between reality and perception.
Yeah.
Because the perception is that in television, if you don't look like Antonio Banderas or Penelope Cruz or...
Who is creating this picture? That's
right.
So silly. Because
well, that's the thing. Because...
crazy.
Because in the world, there are millions and millions of Afro-Latinos.
Absolutely.
But we're not represented in television. The reason for that, and this goes, believe it, this is crazy, I'll keep
no,
it short.
No, I love. This is a very important issue.
Yeah.
I really believe it's an issue that is more and more talked. You know, that really the majority or minority, they don't have so many roles in a movie. We are not represented the way how we're supposed to. Accented people or people with different upbringings when it comes to different roots, like you say, I'm
absolutely.
Not, you know, black enough, not Latino enough, I'm not this, not that. What the freak? We are talking about role, and we are talking about human. Look at the street.
Yeah, see, because
everybody's
TV,
walking on the street.
Yeah,
you know?
TV and film doesn't reflect what our communities look like.
At all.
And it goes all the way back, you know, 120 years to the birth of Hollywood. When Hollywood was born, you know, there was still segregation.
Yeah.
Right? Black people couldn't perform for white audiences, even in the theater.
Yes.
Right? And during those days, white people would paint themselves in blackface if they were going to act in a film, you know, during the silent film eras. So now what happened is as Hollywood evolved, And Los Angeles and Hollywood was basically the beacon of light to show the world how things are done. So Hollywood set a standard for what movie stars are supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And that has not evolved over the course of Hollywood.
2016.
So,
right,
so as TV with cable television and then other nations got TV and they started to produce their own TV shows in other industrialized nations, they looked to Hollywood for the answer on how to do things. How it's supposed to be. And so now, even to this day, when you go to Brazil or you go to Mexico or you go to Venezuela or you go to Cuba or you go to any of these places that have novelas in their own language, you have... There were 12 million slaves that were brought to Brazil.
Yep.
But if you watch their novelas, all their stars are Eurocentric.
That's so funny.
Which is bananas.
Crazy.
Because
it's like watching from the window of something, some another continent, talking how it's supposed to be in your place.
It's like watching a moving magazine ad. Because even if you look in the magazines, even if you go to China right now, they hire Europeans to act like executives to give pitches at their business organization. So the thing is, America has established what the TV star and the movie star is supposed to look like to the point that it has saturated all media. That the idea that the Eurocentric look is the only look that is beautiful enough for celebrity.
That's really, really crazy because you know what? When we even looking who is falling in love with whom, this doesn't ever work because, you know, we see beautiful couples. I'm not even saying because we are talking right now Trump and his wife or something, but could be that in a few months we'll be having a wife of president that speaks very unusual language. Yes, she is European. Fact is, but nobody ever heard in America lady speaking in this way. And we need to get used to.
Yeah, with a very heavy accent.
And
God forbid that the Trump supporters, you know, and I don't want to get too political in this conversation, but, you know, for all those Trump supporters that are, you know, anti-immigration and that are anti-foreigners, that are anti-Mexicans or anti, you know, Turks or anti-Syrians or whatever, it's like, wait a second, you're on the brink of having a first lady who is not first generation American.
You know, even from this perspective, me as a lady who speaks funky English and is in this country, and I love this country because really it's a country that you can dream.
Land of opportunity.
We love it and we can be who we want to be. But still, we need to be allowed also be who we want to be and represent ourselves in the way how we feel we're supposed to instead of being excluded.
Well, that's what makes America so great is immigration. You know, all these immigrants that came in through Ellis Island in New York, that's why New York City is such an incredible city. It is a melting pot of so many cultures. And, you know, that's why Los Angeles is such an amalgamation of so many cultures and religions and shapes and creeds and so on and so forth. And that's what makes America so beautiful is the progressiveness of the large cities that are basically like a painting of what the future should look like.
Yes. That's the colors. Colors we don't want to see in one color. We want paintings. Even if you see a black and white color, still have shades, so many beautiful shades of everything. Then people, I know people love us. People really like us. People understand what we are talking about. And I know they, I'm sure, public wants to see real, something that is real, not made falsely, you know, for us to believe that you cannot be you or you cannot represent whoever you want to represent in your role. Then we are coming back to it. You are hot. You are talking hot. I'm saying like you also have energy, hot energy. And yes, you, when you speak with passion. And that's a very, very important. I really believe that's your blood too, because I have so many guests and they will say the same things what you are saying. I have a lot of actors and actresses who are coming here, but they are more calmer, elegant, they are less. But we are very passionate about that. I believe that times are changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you are changing the times also, because the way how you produce, how you write, what we'll be talking about your new movie, and I don't want to miss everything what you would like to tell people about you. But yes, you also tell us about your new stuff. Let's start about maybe your new movie.
I just want to say a quick caveat. I also don't want the audience to feel like, oh, well, wait a second, there's black people in television. Yes, there are black people in television. I know that. There are Latinos in television. I know that. I'm in television. However, I do want to make it clear that, you know, in television and film, census data with the Screen Actors Guild still says to this day that all on-camera roles are still 82% Caucasian. That is a staggering number. So yes, we're shifting in the direction of being more progressive, but it's taking a lot longer than it should. Okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah, so, but that's positive. I really think this is positive because we have a right to talk. I think people understand more and more, really people are accepting. And our segment in a moment with Tanya Gilbert, Dr. Tanya Gilbert, will be about that too, about this acceptance. And she's just amazing. That please, 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 people in 20-something minutes, please listen to us. We'll be listening to Dr. Tanya talking about this issue, I'm sure, too. Okay, now we have this great actor, a guy who is you have so many awards, you know, but being a working person in Hollywood, and like you do for how many years already? 2004 you got your first SAG.
I got my SAG card in 2004.
Then we are 12 years. Okay, 12 years, from this moment on, I can count a lot of coolness, a lot of great stuff is going on in your life. And like I was saying, living, paying your bills and just creating in this business is so not easy, and somehow you are managing that. I'm managing proudly too. You have lots of awards. You have very unusual projects. Then I will ask you to choose the one that we need to put our accent on. And this will be probably...
It's going to be all out dysfunction.
Yes. I posted the link for your trailer for this movie. It's very interesting. Okay. I love the concept. You just tell us what's going on in this movie.
Wow. All Out Dysfunction is a screenplay that I first wrote about 7 years ago. And over the course of years, you fight to get it made, you fight to get it made, you fight to get it made. And then finally, we were able to shoot it this August. Actually, next month will be 2 years ago since we had principal photography. And it's going to release nationwide this September.
Oh my gosh.
On VOD, IVOD, digital. In fact, today is a big day.
Oh.
Today, you can officially go on iTunes and you can pre-order the film. If you go on iTunes, you can search All Out Dysfunction. Dysfunction spelled with a K.
Yeah.
Okay? And you can search All Out Dysfunction. You can pre-order the film. It will be available September 17th for full-on viewing. We're going to have a big premiere in L.A. at, which in downtown L.A. I can't really
You know, you will be calling with this information
yes,
to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Like 2 weeks before, anything that you want to tell us, you just call in. We'll be pitching. And again, if your spelling is an issue, please go to Accent On. I post the link to the trailer, and you will learn, of course, again, how to spell David's name. Could you tell us?
Yeah, B-I-A-N-C-H-I. That's the last name. That's my last name. So All Out Dysfunction is a hysterical, crazy, dark comedy. It's the story of six dysfunctional Hollywood personalities that all live in the same mansion. And the only thing that keeps them together is they all have rooms for rent, right? And it's basically the story of what happens when six personalities collide and the ensemble comedy goes complete destructiveness, okay? You've got six characters. One is a germaphobe actor who I play. You have a cocaine addict model. You have a webcam porn girl. You have an MIT Punjabi sort of programmer. You've got a 60-year-old landlady.
They have nothing in common.
And then you have a gore effects makeup artist, and they have nothing in common. And it literally is what happens when personalities collide and what everybody's personal price is to make it.
Wow.
You know, so...
Oh, we cannot say too much because we want people to watch it.
Well, they're going to watch it. It's okay. For anybody that's out there that likes independent film, if you like cult comedy, like if you like The Hangover, if you like Boogie Nights, if you like Requiem for a Dream, if you like Project X, if you like any of those movies, you are going to love this effing movie. Can I say effing?
Of course. This is,
you're going to love this fucking movie.
You can say it.
Right?
It's
in fact, speaking of the word fuck, we actually did a word count. If you go on Wikipedia, we are actually going to be ranked the number four movie, the number four movie of all time that has ever used fuck the most amount of times in a single motion picture. We have like 3.84 fucks per minute in this movie. So let that be known. The kids got to be asleep when you watch All Out Dysfunction.
Yes, yes. Okay. Although they are using this word all over, how sad and how funny. Anyway, I always say wars are not killing. People are killing people. Then let's have fun with this dark comedy, very unusual comedy. And
hilarious.
I cannot wait in September. And anytime when you think we need to pitch something even stronger, give people a reminder, please call and send me a link. We'll be pitching and talking.
Yeah, and let me also say it was directed by Ryan LeMasters. This is his feature film debut. It was also produced, co-produced by my producing partner, Christina Jolie. You know, we worked really, really hard on this film, and it is full of house music, trap, electronic dance music. The last 30 minutes is a rave. I mean, it's a wild ride. So get ready for this one, including an incredible cast.
Yes.
Angelica Chitwood. Oh, Ron Jeremy has a cameo. Bridget B. Jerry Bednar from 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's an incredible, fun movie, and I hope you guys get a chance to check it out. So iTunes, All Out Dysfunction. You could pre-order it today.
And whatever you say, people, 2004 he got his SAG card, but right now he's 14 years later?
12 years later.
12 years later. Look at what's going on in his life. Dreams are, they really are real. You know, in this industry, you need to dream. You need to live dysfunctional sometimes, you know, life. And you still need to do what you know you're meant to do.
Yeah. And you have to fight. You have to fight for it. Fight for it like there's nothing else to fight for. When I talk to up-and-coming actors that come to L.A. and they're like, oh, I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to try the L.A. thing. And I say, shut up.
No,
stop talking to me.
There's no trying.
Stop talking to me. There's no trying this game. You're going to come to L.A. and you're going to do it. This needs to be a life decision.
Yeah.
As soon as you say that you're going to try,
no playground.
You've lost.
It's over.
It's like in a relationship. Like, Ilona, if you and I were going into a relationship together and I said, let's try this.
No, it's not trying.
As soon as I look you in the eye and say I want to try a relationship with you, I've already insulted your integrity.
It's so amazing because I don't want to get personal, but this word appeared after 23 years old marriage. My marriage that fell apart after 22 years. And one of those words, and my ex-husband is okay, he doesn't hurt anymore. He said, oh, I was trying for 23 years. Yes, I'm like, okay, you know, trying. It's not a long time to try.
That's a long time.
And, you know, and you can feel bad about this, but I wasn't failing because I wasn't trying. He was trying. In his opinion, he failed. Then,
sure.
You know, we are not trying. Life is not to try. Life is to make a decision and stick with it.
Yeah.
Yes, you can stop doing something if real, you have real reason why you don't want to be in this situation anymore or dream, because you know dream can be killed, but you, only you have a right to dream your own, kill your own dream, nobody else.
I can't agree with you more. And you know, the reality of it is that our, you know, we hear it all the time, is our biggest enemy is ourselves.
Yes,
we constantly get
doubt. Yep. And you know, I'm coaching a lot of singers because I develop a lot of singers and talents. And I sometimes see this self-destructive situation. 90% are perfect, then they are so close to achieving something, the 10%, and then they start being worried about everything. They are 90% already on a path to have something great, the 10%, and they will turn very beautiful situation into negative, thinking, oh, what if I fail? I'm like, why do you care? You know, you need to make this step. Push yourself harder. They will not. You know, they will prefer to just put stop on something that already was going so well. And that's petrifying. And probably 90% of actors who came here, who dreamt and worked so hard for many, many years, they give up before the great things.
You know what? And you bring up a good point. I was just going to say, you know, don't leave before the miracle happens.
Yeah.
And all these horror stories that you hear of people that came to LA and didn't make it, you know, usually those are people that disappear within the first 1 to 4 years. Because people will come to LA with theater degrees or film degrees or music degrees and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And they want to come here with these big dreams. But they don't want to be a waiter for 2 years. They don't want to be a cocktail waitress for 3 years. They don't want to do whatever it takes. It's like everybody wants the red carpet, but nobody wants to be a busboy.
I love it. You're right.
And you have to be, and those first 3 or 4 years where you are starving, you are hungry, you are sleeping on the floor, you are working odd jobs to make ends meet, you are eating bad food, and your spirit is being broken. Those are the years that you decide for yourself, how bad do you want stardom?
Oh my
God. How bad do you want to be a singer, an actor, a director, a cinematographer? How bad do you want it? Those are the years that will define you. Because if you can get through those years, there's nothing else that can chip you away.
Yeah.
You know, when I wrote this script 7 years ago, and I thought about making this movie, I said I'm going to make this movie. There was nothing daunting about making the movie. It was just about dealing with what I had to do that day, which was maybe a rewrite, which was maybe calling an actor, which was maybe calling my director and talking to him about the script. I knew I wasn't going to make the movie that day.
Yeah, but you were pushing small
steps. But I knew day I can make small steps towards
about
a larger
goal. One more day push. You cannot just rest and say, okay, today, tomorrow, next day, or maybe next night, or maybe next month, I'll pick up myself and do something. You just really need to treat this as a very important part of your life and never separate. This is like, is a part of you.
Absolutely. It's like everybody dreams of being in love, the grandeur of finding that beautiful partner. Okay, so let's use love as a metaphor for creativity and in making things in art. You can't fall in love without the first date.
Yes.
And if you don't do the small things, you can't get the big things.
You are right. And then work hard to keep it going in a very good way. You
and
just can say, I'm in love. And now what? The love needs to be taken care of too and work on.
Great.
You need to,
Exactly. And you have to nurture it once you have it. And you have to feed. In fact, I don't care about the grass over on your side of the street where you think is greener. The grass is greener where I water it.
Yeah. I so like it. You know, if we take care, and I know the Dr. Tanya Gilbert, she'll be talking about this. I know, because we were talking a little bit last week about it. And it's true. We need to take care of ourselves first.
Sure.
You'll be great motivational speaker.
Oh, I work very, very hard to motivate and to challenge people to step outside of themselves, to be able to step out of their own minds, because your mind is such a bad neighborhood. There's this war that goes on between our ears that will tell us we're not good enough,
we're not smart enough,
we're not fast enough, we're not witty enough, I'm not pretty enough, I don't walk fast, I don't run fast,
and nobody really look at us this way. We do this to ourselves.
We are programmed by society to be told that we are supposed to be a certain thing, and we put these programs in our mind that defeat ourselves. We are self-defeating.
Same.
So I constantly challenge people to step outside
and themselves. Same people with an accent. I'm talking to all of you people. I barely speak English still, I think, but I have my beautiful show 4 years, and I know a lot of people listen. I'm so proud of the show, but a lot of my friends who have funky accents, they are afraid of speak, they're afraid to be, they think they are not equal. Wow. But I always say, if you have problem and you go to doctor from India or something, you know he's good, do you care that he speaks not perfect English? Or you just say, hey, I want this doctor to operate on me, you know? Then it just doesn't matter. Is we need to be the best for themselves, and then everybody will accept us, because people really want to accept people.
And I think that you make a really great point, in that it really is individually based. Penelope Cruz, Selma Hayek, Antonio Banderas. I mean, so many people that have accents that became... Arnold Schwarzenegger is a perfect example. The thing is that power is an inside job.
Yeah.
And people will be drawn to your light.
Yes.
When you radiate a certain kind of energy...
And you have something to give.
And you have something to offer.
Offer.
People
yes.
will at least pay enough attention to you to see what it is that you're bringing to the table. And as long as you are doing something that is creating positive energy and bringing something glorious to the world, people will follow.
They will take it. And if you cook well, I'm joking, but
I do cook well. I love to cook. I used to make pierogies with my
pierogi,
dad.
Polish pierogi.
We used to make them with flour. We would fill and stuff the potatoes and
from
the cheese.
From scratch. To frozen
and
section. The Mr. T.
Well, you know,
watch Mr. T. They are great pierogies.
Yeah, great pierogies. Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, we gave them a little good... A point. If we people want to find you, learn more about you, or just contact you, give us your any links that we can get.
Sure. Obviously, you can David Bianchi, B-I-A-N-C-H-I. You can Google me and search me there. I'm fine. You can find me on Facebook. Search my name. On Twitter, I am at David Bianchi. On Instagram, D Bianchi SAG, like D Bianchi SAG, like Screen Actors Guild. So D Bianchi SAG on Instagram and Twitter, and then Facebook. And my personal site is DaveBianchi.com, exertionfilm.com.
Very cool one. I like
yeah,
it.
You can,
like
you can check me out
anywhere. Very interesting. You'll be back. You promise you'll be back. We have still like five, 6 minutes to talk, but
I'll be back.
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I know September is cooking something very important for you. Then we need to remember that you just pop up here or call whatever, but I need to talk to you more. Right now, we have a time for our commercial. I cannot forget about a commercial because I care about this beautiful bank because it has a very unusual way to bring people together. And the bank also cares about culture here. Then I think our commercial is pretty, pretty nice to listen to. Then maybe somebody would like to join this bank.
How would you like to own a financial institution? The Polam Federal Credit Union is a member-owned financial institution that serves exclusively the Southern California region with offices in Los Angeles and Orange. Like banks, Polam accepts deposits, makes loans, and provides financial services. The credit union is federally insured by the NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender. Unlike banks, Polam is nonprofit, which means better rates and lower fees, as well as great personalized customer service. After all, when you're a member, you're also an owner. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at polam.org. Polam Federal Credit Union, bringing the charm of Europe to Southern California.
I'm so proud of this commercial. We produced this commercial. Sounds really, really good. Thank you very much. And I will say that bensound.com, this is the website that we got the beautiful music that we put under this commercial. Anyway, soon, I think September, we'll have some new news when it comes to Polam. And I think a lot of young people who want to invest into something, they will be running to this bank asking, please, please, can we put money into your bank? Anyway, right now, Mr. David.
Yes, I'm here.
I know. That was so very exciting because I saw that you were rapping. You were put. What the?
I'm globally known as a spoken word poet, and in spoken word poetry, I've been on national TV and on seasons 3 and 5 of Verses and Flow. That's on TV1, and I also produce spoken word films that are experimental narrative films that are told entirely in spoken word that talk about social issues. So, like anti-bullying, children living in urban centers, sometimes some social political commentary. My first spoken word film was a piece called Soldier that was about a man dying in the Iraqi War. Using spoken word as a device to carry conscious messages through art. So that's what you're
seeing. Repeat that one more time.
So using spoken word poetry and marrying it with film to carry conscious messages through art.
But this is like something, I don't know who is doing that. I don't know if I ever saw poetry of spoken words, like you say, and social issues put together.
Mixed with film, yeah. As far as I can tell, I'm the only person that's doing it, at least at this level. Like, you can go on YouTube and you can
Excuse me, we have our engineer here. Is something okay?
Hello, engineer.
Yeah?
Do you guys have a white VW Jetta?
No. Okay, some car is parked the wrong way, but it's not ours, not David's, and not mine.
Shame on that car.
Oh, shame on the car. Okay, they found people.
But yeah, you can go on YouTube and you can find spoken word videos, but no one that's doing it to the degree that I'm doing it, where we're really...
You have awards for that, yeah?
Yeah. The first film that I produced, that was a spoken word film, we played about 35 festivals worldwide, and we won 3 different festivals. And then I was also nominated for an Imagen Award, which is considered the Latin Golden Globe, for a film that I wrote, produced, and starred. And that was also directed by Ryan LeMasters, who directed All Out Dysfunction. So All Out Dysfunction, and falling back on that, it's just a notch in the belt. This is just a moment in time that is going to be the time capsule of my body of work that is setting the stage to my Oscar-winning film that may be 10 years from now. It may be 10 years from now. It may be 15 years from now. I will
it's the
work.
Journey. That's what you are saying. I love what you are saying. This is like, yeah. I say the same. We have a dream, but dream is a journey. And you know what? We dream every day because we are on journey to our dream, you know? And
exactly.
We dream about doing what we dream to do. Is everything is a dream. And sometimes parents, because I'm coming back to parents, I'm coaching a lot of, like I say, young talents. And I see some parents love what children do. Some parents will say, oh, I let you to take a lessons on this, but I really don't want you to dream of becoming singer or something. How crazy is this? They allow them to spend time enjoying the art, but they don't allow them to become an artist. It's like crazy. People, parents, please don't do this to your children. Let them decide how much they want to dream and let them take a journey and you'll be next to them and just they will do right choice for themselves for sure if they want badly. Okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I'm still waiting for Dr. Tanya to call us and we have a little time. If she calls, I need to pick up the phone and we'll introduce each other. Okay. If you would like to describe yourself to audience, how can we make them remember who is David today?
David is, David is a consummate artist. I am an artist first and foremost. I'm an actor second, writer, producer, poet, fine artist, lover, madman, fashionista, a lot of different things. But no matter what, anybody that knows David Bianchi personally knows that I'm an artist. And I perceive the world through art. My company is called Exertion Films for a reason, because in everything that I do, I exert energy. I'm a very forward press person. By all means necessary, I will not take no for an answer. And in fact, I've said this in interviews, I kind of like the word no, because if you tell me no, then I know that I have to go left or right.
You are my brother from another mother.
I'm gonna keep moving no matter what.
Oh, that's so cool. I have Dr. Tanya. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Tanya.
Hi, Dr. Tanya. You will love my guest who is in the studio right now. He just belongs to our discussion with you today so much. He's an actor and he's a man of so many wonderful talents. And I gave him a question if he would describe himself to leave, people with description, who is David? And, I took him maybe a minute to describe who he is. Because he is so many things and even more. But, we are talking about not giving up on our dreams and just representing yourself and being proud of our difference in the world, because David has roots from Portuguese, Italy, and Poland, Polish roots. He is... like he said, not black enough for black roles, not Latino enough for being a Latino on the screen. And we are talking about so many things that I know you'll be trying to also calm us down or fire us up, even with your understanding how we can live in this crazy life. Okay, hey, David, say hi to Dr. Tanya from us.
Dr. Tanya, it's a pleasure to meet you telephonically.
Yes, and maybe one day we'll meet face to face. How are you?
I am well. I'm happy to be here and in the studio and discussing, life, the universe, and everything, and creativity. And I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, Dr. Tanya Gilbert, I know because we always decide what question we'll be asking you, because I want the one that you really will leave us with and teach us something to take away from this conversation. Then tell us, how can people embrace understanding and acceptance?
Well, I spoke a little bit about this in our last segment last Monday.
Yes.
And today, I just want to, talk a little bit more about, in today's chaotic world, how can we create compassion through embracing understanding and acceptance? Most people think they understand, and most people think that they're accepted of other things and other people. So I start out with understanding. Understanding does not quite equate acceptance. They say when someone has good understanding, they have, insight and good judgment. However, I beg to differ, with that, because sometimes when we don't use quite the best judgment, we still are under the impression, that we are. So when I think of understanding in the frame of an adjective, it means compassion, sympathy, sensitive, being considerate, tender, kind, thoughtful, tolerant, patient.
But this is so many amazing
of other human beings.
This is so many wonderful, amazing words. Do you think that humans have them in their hearts? What do you think, David? Do we have all of these great awards that...
I think that Dr. Tanya brings up a really colorful explanation of what would be an ideal. What I find what I find interesting about those adjectives is, unfortunately, if I had to encompass all those adjectives in a box, I would probably put them in a box of humility. All those adjectives, unfortunately, are anti-American culture. We are not. We are not taught to believe that way.
When you talk about understanding, I bring up, you know, adjectives, because you can look at understanding from various areas in various ways. As a noun, understanding is comprehension, apprehension, mystery, appreciation, absorption. So it has nothing to do with what is. It has to do with what it may be. So when you use the word understanding, and I bring understanding up because so many folks think they understand, but they use the terms, as we do with many things, not appropriately at all times. So understanding can be an adjective where it can create being thoughtful and tolerant and patient. Also, understanding is a noun, which is being having comprehension, being able to comprehend whatever it is that you're trying to explain or trying to accept. Because, see, when you have understanding, there's a whole nother thing that you can do, you know, with understanding, David. See, when you really understand the thing, then you can accept the thing. See, those adjectives, to me, is once you have formed understanding, you can project that from the understanding, which is, like you say, not quite the American values, at least not for all.
Yeah, can we teach that?
The vast majority of Americans, you know, we're taught bigger, better, stronger, faster, conquer.
Consumption.
Mm-hmm. And so those sorts of principles, unfortunately, don't fit into the ideal that we're discussing. And I also, and maybe I'd like to hear your opinion on this, in order to get to a position of understanding, whether used as an adjective or as a noun, we have to get past the first blockade, which is called fear.
Well, fear. I have a thing with fear. I love fear. Most people turn their backs and run the other way when it comes to fear. See, I like to take fear and face it head on, because fear, if I have the courage, just courage doesn't have anything to do with strength. It's just the willingness to look at a thing, face it head on, and be willing to try something different. And fear will teach you all of those things that you need to try or be willing to try that are different. See, we only have this fear because we are afraid of the outcome of trying something different.
You are
even
so right.
Even
though
what you're doing is not working, you're willing to accept. And I want to talk about acceptance in a moment. You're willing to accept the outcome of your fear.
Because
can stand in and live in the power of acceptance and stop resisting the fear, and that means have courage to be willing to do something else, then it can bring about the unconditional acceptance of life and what life may bring.
Aww. Because isn't it easier for Americans and for the human complex in general to fall into your programming or your conditioning? It's easier and safer for the individual to fall into what they know, as opposed to stripping those things away to open yourself up to a new experience, which is exactly what the doctor is talking about.
Doctor, is this...
What you're saying, just one moment, Alana. What you're saying then, David, is sort of the concept of addiction. Of addiction, folks that struggle with that, they continue to do the same thing, wanting a different outcome. And most Americans or most human species do that. They really, truly want something else. But they are too afraid, fear, the outcome on the other side, to to do something different because they have already accepted what is familiar, even if they have the knowledge and the experience and the outcome that it doesn't work and it's not working for them and it's not serving them well. But I'd rather sit in this pool of chaos than try to swim over to the sand and walk and take a different route.
And we're seeing that even at a social level today.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Then who's supposed to teach us how to learn how to not be fearful or how to be more accepting? Who's supposed to teach us? Is this parents? Is this streets? Is this school?
Well, who's supposed to teach us about fear and acceptance? First, it's the cultural, the global culture that we live in. When I look at the different things that are going on, from terrorists to the election to, you know, police lives matter and black lives matter and this matter and that matter. You know, everything that's happening really truly matters.
Yep.
Whatever side you're on, it
Absolutely.
All matters. It all makes a difference. And it all affects all of us in some type of way. However, the thing that control most folks is fear-mongering. If I can make you afraid, then I can control your outcome to suit my agenda. So who is supposed to teach us acceptance of what is the greatest society that we live in, and is ourselves by being willing, having the courage, finding the courage, wanting and needing to do something different for a different outcome.
Wow. Okay, but you said something very important, and I also feel this way, that the fear is put on us right now more and more from outside world. Even when we don't have in us, we feel like the amount of fear from the top and is put on us, that it seems like one person has so little to say to have this courage to do what in first place I'm thinking about and speaking out loud my thoughts. Because of the fear from outside, I'm getting more quiet. I don't like Ilona like that. And I think a lot of people in this period of time, the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, we are getting quieter and quieter. Seems like we scream, but we scream not what we really feel like. We scream what they ask us to scream for, because we are fearing to say our own feelings, you know. Then who will give me this courage? How can I find the courage to not be fearful? How?
Well, it's difficult to say how will you find the courage. First of all, you have to have a strong enough desire for something different. You have to desire will overcome fear. If you have desire, if you have enough desire, you can kind of overcome the particular level of fear that you may have. Because I have to say, if we really look back, David, and you probably agree to me,
yep.
with me, you look back when we were growing up, we were taught to fear our parents to a certain thing, because fear equated respect, right?
Yep.
And so it doesn't mean that you fear your parents because they're going to beat you to death, but fear equated respect.
Yes.
And if I look back and back and back into history, you know, certain people in certain cultures during certain times and in certain religions, everything, if I look you in the eye, that's disrespectful. So I fear. I hold my head down. I close my eyes. So fear has always been a method of control since the inception of humanity.
Wow. You are so right.
So it's up to us. It's up to us, each and every individual, to just find the courage to just take one step. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be the Big Bang Theory. Just to take one step to try to create something different. And that will change your outlook on fear. You know, I say I want to invite folks that's in our listening audience to a challenge. You know, the social media is great, you know, for a lot of things. But what I'm finding it being mostly great for right now is to continue the perpetuation of fear and anger.
Yes.
Fear and anger comes from the same seed.
So let me ask you.
And how is fertilized.
I need to say we have one minute before I need to end of the show.
I have
then.
A quick thought yes. on that topic, Doctor. In a quick note, if you had to petition the audience into an exercise mm-hmm. about fear, like what would your petition to the audience be? Audience, this is what would you invite them to do today to evoke some of the change you're talking about?
Well, what I'm invoking today, just right here, right now, in this moment with Dr. Tanya, I would like for everything you post or repost on your social media, whatever social media you use, that is fearful, that is hurtful, angry, that you post two things that are positive. Because, see, we're afraid to say the good stuff.
Yep.
Because we think somebody's going to point us out. So be willing to take the risk. Be willing to take a chance. If you don't take a chance, you'll never have a chance. So be willing to take that chance that I'll post this, but I'm going to post this right next to it.
Love it.
And
Doctor.
Eventually, everything will not be all hate, all fear, all anger. We have to change the tapestry of the times that we're living in. It's
and start respecting each other. We only have each other. Then I don't understand why mm-hmm. people are so negative and ugly and mean because they can be
fear.
In hiding because they are in fear. But if we could find them easily, they will not be so probably, you know, mean to everybody. They will mm-hmm. have not this, I don't know, courage to be angry and mean and not nice.
Well, see, it doesn't take courage to be angry. It doesn't take courage to be fearful.
Wow.
They stand in these things, in those rooms of anger and fear, because they want unconditional acceptance from whoever they are surrounding themselves with.
Wow.
So if you look at yourself and the five people closest to you, you'll know who you are surrounding yourself with. And if deep down inside of you, that's not who you want to be, who those five people are, remove yourself out of that company.
Hmm. Doctor.
And find more people like you.
Doctor Tanya Gilbert, we love you so much. I love what you said, the last line, that it is not to be call people that they have courage. And because they are mean, they don't have. They are cowards, you know. Because takes really, really much more be not fearful to be nice. You really need to work on this part of your life instead of how to make life ugly, make life beautiful, and respect each other. I know that you are talking to us next month, and boy, I don't even know what will be the next topic, and I need to have David with me because he wants to talk to you too. Dr. Gilbert,
okay.
So much thank you for today, and I need to say bye-bye for today. Gosh, the 20 minutes with you goes too fast, that's for sure. We love you very much, and I will be talking to you next month. Thank you. In the moment with Dr.
And
Tanya Gilbert.
I would just like to say we are in the moment with Dr. Tanya, and you can go to my website, drtanyagilbert.com, and all of my contact information is there.
And on Accent on Page.
You.
And on Accent on Page. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Talk to you next month. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you so much. We love her. She's really, really a cool girl. And thank you so much, David Bianchi.
Thank you very much, Ilona, for having me. This has been an absolute pleasure.
You're my brother. Say hi to your daddy and mommy. And when we'll be eating pierogi, think about me. I'll be thinking about you. And I'll be hearing from you soon. Or you'll be here, maybe with Charmaine. Hi, Charmaine. We love
hi,
you.
Hi, Charmaine Blake. Love you.
Thank you so much, Charmaine. This is the PR.
Charmaine Blake. Powerful PR. Powerful PR. Love her.
This is why we have David with us today. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And till next Monday.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.